Text 2. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Kutashtva Kashmalamidam Vishame Samupastitam Anaya Jushtamas Varagyam Akirti Karamarjuna. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Arjuna, how have these impurities come upon you? They are not at all befitting a man who knows the values of life. They lead not to higher planets, but to infamy." Text 3. Klaibhyamma smagama parta naita tvayupapadyate shudram ridaya darabalyam chaktvotishta parantapa. Translation. O son of Prita, do not yield to this degrading impotence. It does not become you. Give up such petty weakness of heart and arise, O chastiser of the enemy. Text 4. Arjuna uvacha katam bhishma maham sankhe dronam chamurusudana ishubhi pratiyochami pujarha virisudana. Translation. Arjuna said, "O killer of enemies, O killer of Madhu, how can I counterattack with arrows in battle men like Bhishma and Drona, who are worthy of my worship?" Text 5. Gurun ahatvahi mahanubhavan shreyo boktum baiksham apihaloke hatvarta kamangs tu gurun ihaiva punjiya bhogan rudira pradigdan. Translation. It would be better to live in this world by begging than to live at the cost of the lives of great souls who are my teachers. Even though desiring worldly gain, they are superiors. If they are killed, everything we enjoy will be tainted with blood. Text 6. Na chaitad vidma kataram no gariyo yadva jayema yadiva no jayeyuhu yan eva hatva na jiji vishamas teva stita pramuke dartarashtraha. Translation. Nor do we know which is better, conquering them or being conquered by them. If we killed the sons of Dhritarashtra, we should not care to live. Yet they are now standing before us on the battlefield. And finally, text 7. Karpanya dosho pahatasvabhava prichchami tvam dharma samuda cheta yachtraya syanishchitam bruhitam me shishaste ham shari mam tvam prapanam. Translation. Now I am confused about my duty and have lost all composure because of miserly weakness. In this condition, I am asking you to tell me for certain what is best for me. Now I am your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. Going back to text 43. O Krishna, maintainer of the people, I have heard by disciplic succession that those who destroy family traditions dwell always in hell. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Arjuna bases his argument not on his own personal experience, but on what he has heard from the authorities. That is the way of revealing, that is the way of receiving real knowledge. One cannot reach the real point of factual knowledge without being helped by the right person who is already established in that knowledge. There is a system in the Varnashram institution by which, before death, one has to undergo the process of atonement for his sinful activities. One who is always engaged in sinful activities must utilize the process of atonement called the prayaschitta. Without doing so, one surely will be transferred to hellish planets to undergo miserable lives as the result of sinful activities. Yes, this is similar to like in our society, If someone makes a crime, then he has to pay for the crime. For example, if he doesn't pay his taxes, then he gets a penalty. So that's prayaschitta. He has to pay the tax and he has to pay the penalty also for being late. Or if he drives through a red light, he's broken the law, he has to pay some fine. By paying that fine, he's freed. That's the prayaschitta. He's freed from that reaction and he can go on and progress. So, similarly on the universal platform, one cannot really leave or go up unless he's free from the reactions to his sinful activities. Or at least, he has to pay some prayaschitta. Prayaschitta means to atonement. So if someone commits a sinful activity, then according to Karmakandya principles, he has to perform some atonement. That atonement may be something like perform some sacrifice or go to some holy place or give some charity or perform some austerity, perform some vrata or some... It's like people are very fond in India of the different types of katha. Especially they have this they have basically concocted a system of 7 days discussion, Bhagavat Saptaha. Now, and they pattern it, the ideas they're trying to go along with Shukadev Goswami's discussion of with Parikshit Maharaj. That was a 7-day discussion of Bhagavatam. Of course, 7 days, it was 7 days and nights. There was no sleeping. And the other thing is that both of them were pure devotees and the whole discussion was only for the purpose of glorifying Krishna. It wasn't meant for any material purpose. And modern participants, both the speakers and the hearers, for the most part, are all mundaners. The speakers are interested in getting money from the audience, and the audience is interested in getting punya or atonement for their past sinful activities. They think that this will relieve them and then they can go on with sense gratification. So we can see that that is not exactly what Bhagavatam is meant for. Not at all. But this idea of atonement is very strong. People want to get blessings to get free from sinful reactions. But this discussion in Bhagavatam, at one point, Parikshit Maharaj brings up that what is the use of all this atonement? Because it is like the bathing of an elephant. The elephant bathes very nicely. Then as soon as he gets out on the land, he throws dirt all over himself again. So what is the use of such bathing if he's going to smear himself with dirt? And it's a good point. What is the use in performing atonement if one again commits dirty, sinful activities right afterwards? And, of course, in the West, we have this misconception. We have the idea of going for confession, atonement, confession, similar, same idea. On Friday, we go and we confess what we did the week before. And then right after confessing, we begin a new week of sinful activities. And then we think the next week we'll confess again. And we think this is all right. But this is considered to be one of the offenses in chanting the holy name. If one commits sinful activities on the strength of chanting, he shouldn't use the chanting as a means to free one from sinful activities and then do them again. It's all right to use it once. That, yes, I'm using the chanting to free myself, but we shouldn't continue committing the sinful activities on the strength of the chanting. Parikshit Maharaj, then he objected to this idea of atonement. Then there was a verse. Which says that devotional service, it cuts out, it uproots the sinful desire seeds at the root. Normally, prayaschitta or atonement, it cuts off it does counteract temporarily the effect of sinful activities. But it's not permanent because the heart still remains unclean. And then, after getting free, he goes ahead and does the same thing again. Prabhupada gives the example of venereal diseases, a modern disease, where someone contacts venereal disease due to illicit connection. So then it's very painful. He has to go to the doctor, and the doctor gives him some medicine and different treatment. And it's painful, costly, embarrassing, so many things. And then after he gets cured, he begins the same business again. He didn't learn. He didn't actually change his heart. He just went through some temporary inconvenience. But he does it again. But in devotional service to Krishna, agham dunvanti karsneya niharam iva bhaskara. It cuts out the weeds. Just like if you want to get rid of weeds, if you cut them off at the surface, they grow back again very quickly. They have to be rooted out. So similarly, the sinful desire seeds must be rooted out so that one no longer has a desire. Just like the Hare Krishna devotees, they don't even desire to commit sinful activities. Not only do they not do it, they don't engage in sinful activities, but they even have rooted out the desire for it. Or at least they're in the process of rooting out. If you ask them, would you like to engage in some sinful activity? They say, no. I don't want to engage in sinful activity. I want to give up all thoughts even of sinful activity. It's like Yamunacharya, he said, the verse, since I have been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Krishna, realizing ever new pleasure in him, whenever I think of the pleasure of mundane sex life, I spit at the thought and my lips curl with distaste. So, he gets a higher taste. He even spits at the thought of sinful activity. This is what happens. Going on to the next text. Alas, how strange it is that we are preparing to commit greatly sinful acts, driven by the desire to enjoy royal happiness. We are intent on killing our own kinsmen. Purport. Driven by selfish motives, one may be inclined to such sinful acts as killing of one's own brother, father, or mother. There are many such instances in the history of the world, but Arjuna, being a saintly devotee of the Lord, is always conscious of moral principles and therefore takes care to avoid such activities. That's why Arjuna was the proper person to speak a Bhagavad Gita, because he was so pious, he was so pure. He would never accept anything that was impure. Imagine if you brought someone in to speak Bhagavad Gita who was a low-class person. Then it wouldn't have any meaning. Because such a low-class, uncultured, demoniac person, he could accept anything because he has no scruples, he has no principles. But Arjuna would only accept the highest truth. And just to clear all other considerations, he presented all the best morality principles. Family principles, humanity principles, moral principles, friends. He presented all those things, even scriptures, even karmakanda, everything. And Krishna had to defeat all those. He had to show that that his principle was above that. And the final statement of Bhagavad Gita, Sarvadharman parichajamam ekam sharanam braja ahang tvang sarvapape bhyo moksha ishami mahashacha. He says, give up all varieties of religion. Actually, they're not real religion. They're pretending religion. These things are not real religion. Sometimes what? Well, when we say, when Krishna is saying disregard the Dharma, what he's referring to is the lower forms of Dharma, not Sanatana Dharma. Sanatana Dharma is always to be followed. What he's really saying there is that give up the Dharma based on the body, the temporary Dharma, and take the eternal Dharma. The eternal Dharma means you're my servant, and I'm the master for everyone. Ekale Ishvara Krishna Ara Sabhabritya. So it doesn't mean, and the Sanatana Dharma includes the other dharmas. It doesn't negate them. It includes them. It supersedes them. Just like if someone says, give up your $100 and take this $1 million. So you say, oh, well, if I give up $100, well, how will I pay my rent? My rent's $100. So what? How would you answer that question, Bhakti Klim? You're dealing in the financial department now. So if someone says, if I give up $100, how will I pay my $100 rent if you give me $1 million? Ah, yes. The $100 is included in the $1 million, and there's much, much more. So what Krishna is not recommending, he's not contradicting himself. He doesn't go through all the work of establishing Dharma and all the Vedas and Veda Vyas, incarnation, and so many scriptural teachings. He doesn't establish it and then wash the whole thing off. No, what he's saying is that Dharma is included in Sanatana Dharma. Sanatana Dharma is the supreme Dharma. Give up all lower forms of Dharma except the real supreme Dharma. The others are just practice, you could say, pretending, helping you to get to the point where you'll accept Sanatana Dharma. So we don't have to give up principles of morality, but principles of morality are already included in devotional service. For example, a devotee, what are the qualities? 26 qualities of a devotee, kind to everyone. Well, if he's kind to everyone, then where's the question of worrying about his morality? He's kind to everyone. Not only, but everyone means not just human beings. It's like nowadays we have this, not only now, but people have the idea of some kindness. Let's be kind to humans. But basically, let's be kind to American humans or allies, humans in allied countries. Other countries go bomb the heck out of them. if they're on the wrong side, give them the smart bombs. Send those attack tanks. Blow the heck out of them. So that is not necessarily... Or what about the animals? You know, cut their heads off and eat them. So where's the kindness there? A devotee doesn't have such lack of discrimination. He's kind to all living entities. He considers... They're all souls. Suridam sarvabhutanam. He's the dearmost friend of all living entities. Because Krishna is the dearmost friend of all living entities. And Krishna's devotee. He's the son of Krishna. It's the family business to be kind to all living entities. It's Krishna's arrangement. You see? So it's not that he... suddenly, now he becomes a devotee and he gives up being nice to everyone. Now he becomes a tyrant. Saying, I've transcended all the dharmas and in the name of Krishna, I smash everyone. No. He's kind to everyone in the name of Krishna. And automatically, as Sanjaya points out in the last verse of the Bhagavad Gita, Yatra Yogeshvara Krishna, Yatra Partadonur Daraha, Tatra Shri Vijayo Bhutir Dhruva Nitir Matir Mama. Wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will also certainly be opulence, victory, extraordinary power, and morality. That is my opinion. So morality will automatically be there where there's Krishna and Arjuna. And Krishna and Arjuna, also, it means that wherever there is Krishna and his devotee, or the devotee of Arjuna, we can say, wherever there is Krishna and Arjuna, and Arjuna's devotees, then there will be morality. Because that was the point. Arjuna would not accept anything immoral. Any lesser person, the Bhagavad Gita would have been, it would not have been of any value. He had to choose the topmost person, the top moralist. He had to choose someone who was above ordinary considerations, who would only accept something pure. Therefore, that combination, Krishna and Arjuna, so important. Krishna and Arjuna. If Krishna were to speak to Duryodhana and he accepted, that's nice, but it wouldn't have the same effect. Because we'd all say, well, Duryodhana, what kind of a person was Duryodhana? How can I trust his judgment? But Arjuna's judgment was impeccable. Arjuna would never do anything disrespectful, even to his enemy. Even when it was, when there were opportunities to do something disrespectful to the, or improper to enemies, Arjuna would never do it. He was so, so pious. Going on to the next text. 45. Better for me if the sons of Dhritarashtra, weapons in hands, were to kill me unarmed and unresisting in the battle. He'd rather give up his own life and to cause the suffering of others. Just see how pure and how selfless he is. He's not at all selfish. We ourselves, we would think it's much better for others to give up their lives than for me to give up my life. But Arjuna was thinking the other way. 46. Sanjaya said, Arjuna, Having thus spoken on the battlefield, cast aside his bow and arrows and sat down in the chariot, his mind overwhelmed with grief. It shows he wasn't just theoretically speaking. Now he threw away his bow and arrow. He cast them aside. That means he showed. He had, not only did he have purity and compassion, but he was a man of action. He did it. Some people, they talk about so many moral principles, but they don't do it. They speak so many things, but in practice, they don't execute. But Arjun, he executed. He showed. I don't believe in this fighting, and I'm not going to fight. Whatever happens, let it happen. If they want to shoot me now, because where was he seated? He was seated between the two armies. He wasn't seated in his comfortable salon at home. It was a very dangerous place he was seated. He was on the battlefield, on a chariot, poised for war, the commander-in-chief. Anyone could have shot an arrow at him. With that, he had no protection. He had thrown down his bow and arrows. Next text, chapter 2, text 1. Sanjaya said, seeing Arjuna full of compassion, his mind depressed, his eyes full of tears, Madhusudana Krishna spoke the following words. He was fortunate that Krishna was present, because if Krishna had not been present, there was no way he could have been saved from his dilemma. There was no one else could have convinced him. Who else could convince him? He had already thrown down his bow and arrows. Because he was a learned person, it wouldn't be so easy to convince him to fight against Bhishma and Drona. Because, as he says, these people are worship. They're worthy of my worship. And that's correct. They were worthy of his worship. And he did not want to fight. Only Krishna, and that's the conclusion that Arjuna will come to, is that in this situation, there's only one person who will be able to save me from my dilemma, from my bewilderment. And the conclusion that Arjuna came to is the same conclusion that everyone should come to. There's only one person who can save me from my dilemma, and that is Krishna. There is no one else who can give perfect knowledge. No one else knows everything about me. We always like to say, well, I don't know if I can trust this person because he doesn't know everything about me. And of course, I'm hesitant to tell him everything about me, because if I tell him everything about me, just like my grandmother used to have a plaque on her wall. It said, if you have a friend, keep him so. Never let that friend your secrets know. For if your friend should turn your foe, then all the world your secrets know. I don't know why I memorized that. It's somewhat of a... Yes, in other words, don't trust even your friends. And generally people don't trust. They're afraid to tell all their secrets because they're afraid that the person may use them against them, exploit them, or tell everyone. But with Krishna, you can be completely comfortable. You can reveal everything to Krishna. You can tell Krishna everything. And you don't have to be afraid that he's going to use it against you or, you know, take you to court. Nowadays, if I say something, I might get taken to court, or he might trick me. Or therefore, Krishna is the best person to surrender to, because he is the ultimate controller. He knows everything. So whether you tell him or not, it doesn't make any difference, because he already knows. That's another reason you should tell him, because he already knows. And if you don't tell him, then it doesn't look good for you. Because you're telling him this and that, but you're holding back. But he knows what you're holding back. So, you know, this person's not sincere. So there's so many good reasons for confiding in Krishna. Completely putting our faith and surrender into Krishna. There's no one else who has such perfect understanding of everything. Okay, next text. Text 2. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Arjuna, how have these impurities come upon you? They are not at all befitting a man who knows the higher value of life. They lead not to higher planets, but to infamy." So the word here is anarya jushtam. Anarya, arya means one who knows the higher values, and anarya means one who doesn't know the higher values. Anarya jushtam, practiced by the non-Aryans. So now Krishna is gently saying, how have these impurities come upon you? They are not at all befitting one who knows. Because you're from the Aryan community. Your family, your line is very elevated. They're the most elevated Aryans. But you're speaking like a non-Aryan. And this will not take you to higher planets. Arjuna was saying, "I don't want to fight against my teachers and others." And Krishna was saying, "But for a Kshatriya, these considerations are not there. Even in the mundane world, they have these moralities, dilemmas." It's like there was some movie, some man was a prosecutor of some sort, and as he was prosecuting, turned out that his son was a culprit, and he ended up having to prosecute his own son. So it's a dilemma, but he had to do his duty. He had to stand up for righteousness, even if it's against his own son. And it's stated about Krishna that Krishna is so just and so fair that if his enemy does something correct, Krishna will give him the benefit of that. And if his son does something wrong, then he'll punish him. It's not that he's only favorable to his own party. He's favorable to those who act properly. Continuing, text number 3. O son of Pritha, do not yield to this degrading impotence. It does not become you. Give up such petty weakness of heart and arise, O chastiser of the enemy. Prabhupada points out in this purport that there was a blood relationship between Krishna and Arjuna. Because Pritha, or Kunti, happened to be the sister of Krishna's father, Vasudev. So they were cousins also. Therefore, Krishna had a blood relationship with Krishna. And it would not look good for Krishna that one of his relatives, close relative, is behaving like a non-Aryan. So therefore he calls him, "O son of Pritha, O son of my aunt, O cousin, O family member, please don't ruin our family like this. What will Vasudev think? What will Kunti think?" Vasudeva is the father of Krishna and Arjuna's uncle also. What will your uncle think? What will your father think? What will your mother think? What will your grand... What will all the relatives think if you give up your duty on grounds of compassion or grounds of family attachment? Had to rise above it. Then Arjuna said, "O killer of enemies, O killer of Madhu, how can I counterattack with arrows in battle men like Bhishma and Drona who are worthy of my worship. The important point here is that Arjuna is saying, yes, it's easy for you to say that I should fight and kill the opposition because you killed Madhu, the demon. But you didn't kill your teacher and your grandfather. And now you're asking me to do that. See, Arisudana. You're the killer of enemies. But you're not the killer of friends. So how are you asking me to fight against my friends and relatives? That's the point. Then he says in text 5, it would be better to live in this world by begging than to live at the cost of the lives of the great souls who are my teachers. Even though desiring worldly gain, they are superiors. If they are killed, everything we enjoy will be tainted with blood. And Prabhupada points that out, that this is, he reveals his misunderstanding. Arjuna is thinking in terms of his own enjoyment. And that's not how one is supposed to think. One is supposed to think in terms of Krishna's enjoyment. A devotee doesn't consider, shall I do this? Will this give me pleasure? No. He only is supposed to consider, if I do this, will this be pleasureful for Krishna? Will Krishna be pleased? That's his consideration. But Arjuna was thinking the opposite way. He wasn't thinking what would be pleasing to Krishna. He was thinking what would be pleasing to him. That has to be changed. And that will be changed. The whole Bhagavad Gita is meant to change that mentality. And text 6, nor do we know which is better, conquering them or being conquered by them. If we killed the sons of Dhritarashtra, we should not care to live. Yet they are now stand. He's so merciful. Arjuna is such a kind person. These sons of Dhritarashtra are really horrible persons. He's such a good person. He only sees the good qualities, even in such wretched persons as the sons of Dhritarashtra. And then finally, one of the most important verses. Actually, this is the turning point. This verse, 7, is the turning point of the whole Bhagavad Gita. Now I am confused about my duty and have lost all composure because of miserly weakness. In this condition, I am asking you to tell me for certain what is best for me. Now I am your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. Shishasteham sharimam tvam prapanam. So becoming the disciple of Arjuna, of Krishna. Arjuna, as was mentioned earlier, was the direct disciple of Krishna. He had Krishna right there on the chariot. But we don't have Krishna on our chariot, but we have Krishna's representative. So the same principle is there. Because the representative, just like nowadays, they're talking about the prominent link. Somebody has come up with this theory that my spiritual master, he's a non-prominent link, and Prabhupada is the prominent link. But everybody knows that it's a common saying, the chain is only as strong as its weakest link. So if you have a weak link between you and Prabhupada, then that won't hold up. So the real question is not prominent link or non-prominent link, is link or no link. If you're linked, then it's strong. And if it's not strong, and if it's weak, then you're in trouble. So the real question is it bona fide spiritual master or not bona fide spiritual master? It's not connecting, they've made up all these terms, connecting guru, monitor guru, and different types of gurus. But actually, the real issue is it bona fide guru or not bona fide guru? If he's actually, and really it means, is he guru or not guru? Because if he's guru, he must be bona fide. And if he's not guru, then he cannot be bona fide. So, this is the point here, that Arjuna is surrendering to Krishna as spiritual master. We have to surrender to Krishna's representative as the representative of Krishna. Are there any questions? No, you can think of it that just like the mother and father love their children, they're also coming from the seeds from the father, but still he loves his children. So they're separate. So in one sense, they're one because those seeds come from him. So you can say it's stated in the Vedas. Balaram quoted this point. After the killing of Ramaharshan, when Balaram killed Ramaharshan with the Kusa grass weapon, so all the sages, they said, well, Balaramaji, we know you're the Supreme Lord and we don't mean to undo any of your actions, but you just killed the speaker that we guaranteed a long life. He was supposed to be speaking on the Vedas, and we guaranteed him a long life, and now you've just killed him. What to do? And Balaram said, would you like me to bring him back to life? And they said, no, because you must have had a good reason for doing that. So then Balaram said, okay, I have a solution. He said, the man lives again as his son, because the son is coming from the father. He is the father. So he said, I will give his son long life. So we'll transfer the benediction to the son. So that's how it works. That even though the son is part of the father, still there's a difference too. Son and father are different. It's like the Christians say that Jesus is God. It's not exactly like that. He's the son of God. It's not that the son and the father are exactly the same. They should be one in purpose. Other questions? Cause of Arjuna's weakness? Because he's thinking, well, we mentioned, he's thinking, one, he's forgetting Krishna, in one sense, because Krishna wants him to fight, and he's forgetting that who Krishna is. That's one of the reasons Krishna shows the Vishvarupa. He's showing him that I'm not just an ordinary person sitting here. I'm the Supreme. That's helpful to remember that. That's why that chapter is there in Bhagavad Gita. So we can remember that, as Bhakti Richard pointed out, that Krishna showed his universal form to Arjuna. That was very helpful for Arjuna to be reminded who he was speaking with. It's like if you're you're sitting and listening to a teacher, and if the teacher shows his universal form, well, everyone will wake up in the classroom, you know. Another point is that he's thinking in terms of bodily conception. My family, Svajanam, my